Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Have you ever devoured a book? Our guests today are organizers for an event that allows attendees to do just that, in the literal sense. The International Edible Book Festival has been serving up delicious volumes since 2000 and is especially popular on college campuses. Heidi Herr is the Librarian of Special Collections at Sheridan Libraries at Johns Hopkins University. She's gearing up for the 5th annual Edible Book event held at Johns Hopkins Glass Pavilion next Friday, April 6th. Welcome to On the Record, Heidi.
Thank you.
And also with us is Aaron Blickenstaff, Access Services Manager at Maryland Institute College of Arts, Decker Library. Micah's event, also in its fifth year, is later this morning. It starts at 11:30. Welcome, Aaron.
Thank you for having me.
What exactly is an edible book festival?
So the concept of the Edible Book Festival has a storied history. Legend has it that the idea was created way back in 1999 during a Thanksgiving feast. While a bunch of book artists were talking turkey, they were discussing how books nourish not just the mind, but the soul as well. But what if a book could also nourish one's belly? And thus the idea of an edible book was formed. And then in 2000, the first International Edible Book Festival was held. The idea was spearheaded by Judith Hofberg, a librarian, artist, and writer. She's known for promoting the Fluxus art movement. And she did this along with her colleague, Beatrice Curran, who is an illustrator and paper artist.
So that's the intellectual history of the Edible Book Festival.
Right.
But I still can't picture what really happens, Aaron.
Well, for Micah, what we play it a little more loose than other colleges. Traditionally, it's desserts. At Micah, it's anything that references a book in any way. So it can be something a character eats. It can be a pun on the book's title, which is one of our categories. It's very, very fierce competition. It can really be anything. It can be, obviously it's an art school. We have people who do book arts. So it can be food that mirrors the structure of a book. So we've had many entries that are based on book structures. We had a book made out of sushi with seaweed and rice.
And that, because it just looks like paper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's back up for me. The more traditional, if that's the fast and loose way of doing a book festival, the more traditional way is, Aaron said, desserts. What does that mean?
So that's what we do at Hopkins. We have a dessert competition. So we encourage students, faculty, and staff to create desserts based on their favorite book or literary character. So, for instance, it could be, as what happened last year, someone loves the novel Jaws. So they created a cake that looked like Jaws. And then when you cut into it, all this red velvet just oozed out, thereby kind of showcasing the theme. I mean, it was gruesome, yet charming. So the whole entire idea is to create something edible that somehow or another captures the essence of a book. And it can be a literal interpretation, such as creating a cake that actually looks like a book, or it can be something much more like esoteric and whimsical, like what Aaron was talking about.
Does it have to be cake in the traditional sense?
No, it doesn't. At Hopkins, we love desserts. A secret about all of our budding Blue Jays is that we are all sugar fiends. So that's why we went with like the dessert option. But what they do at Micah is much more expansive and awesome, I must say, in terms of promoting edible books that are both savory and sweet and intriguing.
How did you decide to go the more expansive route at Micah?
Well, given that it's an art school, when I first got there, I knew I wanted to do the Edible Book Festival. And I was so excited to see what was going to come out of such a creative community that I did not want to put any parameters. Our only parameters are that it cannot be toxic or harmful, and it has to be made of something that is or once was edible.
Is or once was?
Yes.
Can you give me an example of something that falls into that category?
Well, one of our categories is least edible, and that's another category for which there is fierce competition. So one year we had an entry based on the book Winter's Bone, which was chicken bones frozen in ice. It handily won the least edible contest. We've had Invisible Man, for which there was a cookie cutter with nothing inside. We've had Gone with the Wind, which was a southern red velvet cake, of which nothing was left but the crumbs.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass, talking about the phenomenon of the Edible Book Festival with Aaron Blinkenstaff, Access Services Manager at Micah's Decker Library, and Heidi Herr, Librarian of Special Collections at the Sheridan Libraries of the Johns Hopkins University. You've mentioned some categories. Help me clear it up. What are the categories at Micah?
We have funniest, punniest. We have least edible, best in show, and most appetizing.
Right. So our categories are best in show, best literary theme, most delicious, funniest, punniest, and best effort as a way to encourage students at all baking levels to participate.
Tell me some more memorable entries.
Well, one of the things I love is seeing what students can create with limited resources. For instance, freshmen and sophomores on campus may not have access to a working kitchen. So they tend to create things based on whatever they can find in their dorm room. One year, a student created a rather funny yet morbid cake or dessert showcasing the death of Gatsby. Basically, it was a Lego figure in a suit face down in a bowl of Jell-O. And as the event, it was actually was really funny because she brought in the Jell-O an hour or two before the event happens. And the event is in a glass pavilion, so it's just a glass building. All the sunlight was coming in, and the Jell-O was starting to transform. And it was wonderful because it began to create waves. And soon the Jell-O broke right around the little Lego figurine. So it was a very memorable yet gruesome cake, and it captured the essence of The Great Gatsby.
Are these presentations made with titles, or is it up to the viewers to figure out what's going on here?
Okay, so what we do is we provide all attendees with a menu, a tasting menu, listing all the books they can eat. And in addition, my student staff and special collections assist with the event. And one of the things they do is create placards for each dessert. So everyone who enters the contest gets a souvenir to take home with them. So the placard has an illustration that deals with the book and lists the title of the book. They're very beautiful.
Well, you mentioned puns is a very competitive category. Give me some examples.
Most memorable, we had someone got a hot dog and put it in a beer mug. Frankenstein, of course. yes, we get many puns. Of Rice and Men, another memorable one. We've had, The Art of the Dill last year.
The Art of the Dill.
Yes.
How was that portrayed?
That was, they rendered, again, artistically, the face of one Donald Trump in Sriracha, and then formed the mass of his hair out of dillweed.
Am I right? All these entries are judged somehow. There's voting. How does this proceed?
So what we do at Hopkins is have everything decided via vote. So we give all attendees ballots for the various categories, and then they just fill out the ballot based on their favorites, be it the most delicious, the funniest, punniest, or what they feel was the overall best in show.
And what do you get if you win?
So many fabulous prizes. So we distribute a variety of gift cards and various suites from area restaurants and bakeries. So it's a way for us to promote not just, you know, the love of reading, but also introduce students, many of whom aren't from Baltimore, to area restaurants and traditions.
What are the prizes at Micah?
Similarly, we have very generous sponsors from area restaurants that give us gift cards, and we welcome the opportunity. We try to find new ones every year to expose students to what's in the area.
I think one of the reasons I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this passion of yours is it seems like it would be sacrilege to a librarian and to libraries in general. Food in the library?
Such a dated stereotype of librarians. I think one of the reasons I love the Edible Book Festival is because it helps to disrupt that stereotype that the library is a button-down, joyless place where you only go for books and information when you have to. I think of the library as a hub not only of resources and of information, but a hub of community, and one where students should feel comfortable and feel like they can engage with the space, and it can be an area where there's fun and they get to know each other. And yes, you can eat.
You're nodding.
Oh, yes, I completely agree. So the library is the most popular building with students at Hopkins, in part because we don't have a student union. So my colleagues and myself, we really feel that it is important to make sure that our students feel welcomed. And they know that we provide not just academic resources to help them with their studies, but also meaningful events so that they can engage with one another and create a sense of community and tradition. One of the things that we found is that, especially among our undergraduate population, is that there's a yearning for tradition. And the Edible Book Festival is a way to kind of create that. And we've found out that whenever we have tours for prospective students, they stop by Special Collections, and the tour guide always mentions the Edible Book Festival, and you just see faces light up. And there's such an interest in doing this, and, you know, quite frankly, people don't think about something whimsical like this when they think about Hopkins. You know, they're thinking cutting-edge research and all of that. They're not necessarily thinking, oh, creative things people can do with cakes and books. So again, it's a way to defy stereotypes.
Okay, let's get personal here. Are either of you submitting an entry to your Edible Book Festival?
I have one entry that I've submitted this year. It's for the funniest, punniest category. It will be One Flew Over the Couscous Nest.
One Flew Over the Couscous Nest. And how about you, Heidi?
Yes, I've yet to decide what I will be entering. But in the past, I've tended to do like celebrity autobiographies or tawdry books. So I once made a Gingerbread Morrissey based on Morrissey's autobiography, as well as a Liberace tribute cake in honor of Behind the Candelabra. So this year, I'm sure it'll be something fabulous. I just have to figure it out. I still have about a week to decide. I have plenty of time.
Well, I appreciate your telling us about it. Thank you. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Erin Blickenstaff is Access Services Manager at MICA's Decker Library. MICA's fifth annual Edible Book Festival starts in less than 2 hours, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Decker Library, 1401 Mount Royal Avenue. Heidi Herr is Librarian of Special Collections at Sheridan Libraries at Johns Hopkins University. Their Edible Book Festival, a week from today, April 6th, runs from noon to 1:30 p.m. in the Glass Pavilion at Levering Hall, 3400 North Charles Street. Registration is closed for both events, but viewing and voting is still open to the public. We have links to those and also the April 2nd Edible Book Fest at Towson University at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. After a break, a Stoop story. Stay with us.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.